Have you ever looked at a parking lot and thought, that's long enough to land on? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, Radio Hangar's technology desk, and today we're going to talk about a company that is dead serious about making that thought a reality. The company is Electra, based out of Northern Virginia, and the technology they're building doesn't fit neatly into any of the boxes we've been using to describe the future of flight. It's not an air taxi. It's not a conventional airplane. It's not a helicopter. It's a fixed-wing aircraft that can take off and land in about 150 feet of ground roll. Let me say that again. 150 feet. That is roughly half the length of a soccer field. And it does this, not with rotors, not with tilt mechanisms, but with something called blown lift. This segment is supported by AviationSold.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in your flying life. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. Check them out at aviationsoul.com. All right, let's break this down. Because blown lift is one of those ideas that has been sitting in aerodynamics textbooks for decades, but nobody could make it practical until now. Here's how it works. You take a wing, and you line the leading edge with a row of small electric motors driving propellers. On Electra's aircraft, there are 8 of these distributed electric propellers spread across each wing. When you spin those propellers at high power during takeoff and landing, the wash from those props flows directly over and under the wing surface at very high speed. That artificially accelerates the air over the wing to a velocity far beyond what the airplane's actual ground speed would produce. The wing thinks it's moving through the air at 80 or 90 knots, even though the airplane is only rolling at 30. The result is enormous lift at absurdly low speeds. The wing generates the kind of lift coefficient that would normally require flaps the size of barn doors or an approach speed you'd never want to fly. And the beautiful thing is, once you're airborne and accelerating to cruise, those wing-mounted props throttle back or even fold flat. A single rear-mounted turbo generator takes over, powering the aircraft in conventional cruise flight on its battery pack, with the generator recharging as needed. So you get the short field performance of a helicopter, the cruise efficiency of a fixed-wing airplane, and you do it with a hybrid electric powertrain that doesn't need the massive battery pack a pure electric design would demand. Now here's what most people miss about why this matters. The eVTOL world has been obsessed with vertical takeoff. Straight up, hover, transition, cruise, and vertical takeoff works. But it is ferociously expensive in terms of energy. Hovering a 2,000-pound aircraft takes an enormous amount of power, and that power has to come from batteries that are heavy. It's a vicious circle. More battery for hover means more weight, which means more power to hover, which means more battery. The math is brutal. Electra sidesteps that entire problem by accepting a short ground roll, even just a few hundred feet. They avoid the hover penalty completely. The data tells an interesting story here. Electra claims their approach uses roughly 1/10 the energy of a vertical takeoff for the same payload. 1/10. That translates directly into range, payload, and the size and cost of the battery pack you need to carry. Their target aircraft is a 9-passenger design with a range of about 500 miles on a single charge cycle, with the hybrid system running. 500 miles with 9 passengers from a field the length of a Walmart parking lot. If those numbers hold up in certification, that is a game changer for regional connectivity. Think about what that means practically. Right now, in general aviation, if you want to fly into a short strip, you need a specialized bush plane, a Pilatus Porter, a stall-modified Super Cub, something with big wings and big tires and a willingness to land slow. But those are small airplanes carrying 1 or 2 passengers. Electra is talking about a commuter-class aircraft, something that could carry a meaningful number of people on a meaningful distance, operating out of spaces that currently have no aviation infrastructure at all. There are thousands of locations across this country that have a few hundred feet of flat pavement or grass, but will never justify building a 3,000-foot runway with lighting and an approach. Corporate campuses, hospital complexes, small towns with a football field but no airport, military forward operating locations, disaster relief, staging areas. All of these become potential landing sites if you only need 150 feet of ground roll. Now, I want to be honest about where this stands, because I've seen too many aviation startups sell the future before they've built the present. Electra flew a technology demonstrator in late 2023. It was a subscale proof of concept, not a full-size prototype. The demonstrator validated the blown lift concept in actual flight. The propellers worked as predicted, the ultra-short takeoff happened, and the transition to cruise mode flight was clean. That's encouraging. It's real data from a real airplane that actually flew, but it's a long way from a subscale demo to a certified 9-passenger commercial aircraft. The company is backed by some serious money. Lockheed Martin is an investor. So is the United States Air Force through its AFUREX program. They've received contracts for military evaluation, which makes sense when you think about the tactical applications. An airplane that can deliver supplies or personnel into a space the size of a tennis court without needing a runway is exactly what Special Operations and Expeditionary Forces have been asking for. On the civil certification side, Electra is working with the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, under what's expected to be a Part 23 certification pathway. Part 23 is the normal category for aircraft under 19,000 pounds, and the FAA has been modernizing those standards to accommodate new propulsion and flight control architectures. But hybrid electric certification is still uncharted territory. The FAA is learning as it goes, and every new propulsion concept requires new means of compliance, new test standards, and new ways of thinking about failure modes. Let me talk about those failure modes for a second, because this is where the engineering gets really interesting. What happens if you lose one of those 8 wing-mounted propellers during a short field takeoff? On a conventional airplane, you have 1 or 2 engines, and losing one is a well-understood emergency with well-established procedures. On a distributed electric propulsion aircraft with 8 motors per wing, losing one motor means you've lost about 6% of your total blown lift capability. The flight control system redistributes power to the remaining motors, and the aircraft continues flying with a manageable asymmetry. That's actually a significant safety advantage. The redundancy is built into the architecture. But what about the turbogenerator? That's a single point of failure for the hybrid system. If the generator quits in cruise, you're running on battery alone, and your range drops significantly. Electra's design philosophy accounts for this with enough battery reserve to reach an alternate, but the certification discussion around how much reserve and what kind of alternates will be fascinating to watch unfold. And then there's the flight control software, an aircraft with 16 or more independent electric motors that must be coordinated in real time to produce controlled flight, is fundamentally a fly-by-wire machine. The pilot inputs commands. The computers translate those into individual motor speeds and control surface deflections. This isn't optional complexity. It's essential to making blown lift work. You can't hand fly 16 throttle levers. The system has to be autonomous in its motor management, with the pilot commanding the airplane at a higher level, telling it what to do rather than how to do it. This is the same architectural shift we've been watching across the eVTOL industry, and honestly, across all of next generation aviation. The pilot becomes a mission manager rather than a stick and rudder operator. Some of you listening love that idea, some of you hate it. I think the honest answer is that both reactions are valid, and the real question is whether the systems are reliable enough to earn the trust. Let me put Electra in context against the rest of the advanced air mobility landscape. You've got companies like Joby and Archer building multi-rotor eVTOLs for urban air taxi routes. You've got Boom building a supersonic airliner. You've got Heart Aerospace and ZeroAvia working on electric and hydrogen power for existing regional aircraft categories. Electra occupies a genuinely different niche. They're not trying to replace helicopters in cities. They're trying to create a new category of regional transport that operates from places no existing aircraft can reach efficiently. The military applications might actually come first. The Air Force has been testing concepts under its Agility Prime program for years now, and an ultra-short takeoff aircraft with 500 miles of range and room for a tactical payload is exactly the kind of capability that fits their distributed operations doctrine. If Electra can deliver a militarized variant before the civil version achieves type certification, that revenue stream could sustain the company through the long civil certification process. The timeline, Electra has talked about having a full-scale prototype flying by 2026 or 2027, with entry into service targeted for the end of this decade. I'll be honest, those timelines in aviation almost always slip. The technology demonstrator was a positive sign, and the funding is real, but the gap between a flying demonstrator and a certified production aircraft is where ambition meets physics and regulation. My best estimate is early 2030s for a civil certified version carrying paying passengers. Military use could come sooner. Here's what I find most compelling about this whole approach. Blown lift doesn't require any magical breakthrough in battery technology. It doesn't need batteries that are twice as energy dense as what we have today, because the hybrid architecture uses a conventional turbine generator for cruise energy. The batteries only need to provide peak power for the short takeoff and landing phases, plus a safety reserve. That's a much more achievable ask than pure electric flight, which needs batteries to do everything for the entire mission. In a field full of companies betting on battery breakthroughs that haven't happened yet, Electra is betting on aerodynamics and systems integration using batteries that already exist. That's a fundamentally different risk profile. And it's one of the reasons I think this concept has a better than average chance of actually reaching the market. The question isn't really whether blown lift works. The demonstrator proved it does. The question is whether the full-scale aircraft can hit its performance targets, whether the FAA can certify a hybrid electric distributed propulsion airplane in a reasonable time frame, and whether the market for ultra-short field regional transport is as large as Electra believes it is. I think the market is there. I think there are hundreds of communities in this country alone that are effectively cut off from air transport because they can't justify an airport, but could absolutely support a landing pad the size of a high school baseball diamond. And I think the military applications alone could sustain this technology through its early growing pains. Keep an eye on Electra. They're not the loudest company in the room. They don't have flashy air taxi renderings over Manhattan skylines, but they might be building something more fundamentally useful than any of that. The reporting today draws on Electra's published flight test data, Aviation Week's coverage of their AFWERX contracts, and the FAA's ongoing rulemaking documents for powered lift and hybrid electric certification. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Vector, clear direct. Go find a parking lot and pace off 150 feet. Then imagine landing an airplane in it.